This is the second part of the fourth lecture, Maintaining Orthodoxy in the New World, that was delivered on Friday evening, March 7th, 2008, at the Young Israel of Avenue J. We will begin discussing the founding of REITS, that's the Yitzchak Elchanan Seminary and Yeshiva College. Rabbi Moshe Meir Motlin, born in 1855 and passed away in 1927, came to America in 1891 to assist Rabbi Yaakov Yosef. He supervised kosher meat and wine, that's how he earned his living, and actually refused to take any money from any other sources. Rabbi Motlin's family accompanied him to America. In about 1892, he enrolled his son Akiva in Yeshiva Eitz Chaim. As we mentioned, Yeshiva Eitz Chaim was founded in 1886. It was an intermediate school and enrolled boys at least 9 years old who already were somewhat proficient in Chumash and Rashi. Yeshiva Eitz Chaim's goal was to give its students a thorough grounding in Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. In addition, it provided some limited secular studies in the late afternoon. In 1895 or 1896, Akiva Matlin was about 16 and had absorbed as much as could be offered to him at the elementary school. His father, pious and anxious to see his son continue his religious studies, assembled several lads of the same age and taught them personally in his own apartment on the top floor of 172 Clinton Street. In addition to Akiva Matlin were Hillel Rogoff and Aaron Abramowitz. The news of this advanced class spread, and soon the group grew to about 12 students. Rabbi Matlin could not accommodate them in his home any longer and began to seek larger quarters. The father of one of the students was a member of the Mariampol synagogue and persuaded his congregation to house the incipient yeshiva. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector had passed away in 1896. In 1897, Rabbi Matlin joined a group of fellow rabbonim and communal leaders, most of whom were from Lithuania, in establishing a yeshiva named in honor of Rav Spector. Thus, the group of young men that Rabbi Matlin had been teaching became the nucleus for the founding of the Rabbi Isaac Elchanan Theological Seminary. In about 1915, or so a little earlier, Eitz Chaim and the Rabbinical College REITS merged, and something that was called the Rabbinical College merged to form REITS. They hired the visionary Rabbi Dr. Bernie Revel, and he established in 1928, he established Yeshiva College. It was a pioneering effort, it was a bold effort, and it all sprung originally from the small group of students that Rabbi Matlin had taught. We'll now conclude by talking about Rabbi David Miller. He's born in 1869 and died in 1939. He had a traditional yeshiva education in Lithuania, he attended Slobodka, and he came to America in 1890. He served for a short time as rabbi in New York and Providence, Rhode Island. He eventually moved to Oakland, California, where he became wealthy, and he supported REITS and other yeshivas in Europe. He worked to spread Torah Judaism. He wrote three books about Shabbos and Taras HaMishpocha, and he gave them away free. The only condition was that you had to pay for the postage, but he gave you the book free. He made history because he was so interested in promoting Taras HaMishpocha that in one of his books he gave detailed plans on how to build a mikveh in your home. Rabbi Miller had studied engineering at some point, and his plans were quite interesting. You could build the mikveh in the big radios. If you remember, the old radios were big, huge, so you could have the mikveh put there, nobody would know it was there, or you could build it under steps. In any case, he had detailed plans, exactly how much it would cost in his book, diagrams, pictures, etc. He approved the use of tap water for the mikveh. And many, many rabbonim were opposed to this, felt that you could not use tap water in a mikveh. However, Rav Telushkin, who was an expert in mikvos, went along with Rabbi Miller's use of tap water. In any case, Rabbi Miller understood that a good religious Jewish education was key to ensuring the future of Yiddishkeit. At his own expense, he supported a Talmud Torah for the children of Oakland, California. Not only did he support this school financially, but he also devoted much of his time to running it. The school did not last, however, because some of the community were opposed to it. Keep in mind that they were opposed to a yeshiva. In 1935, Rabbi Miller wrote, "For lack of obtaining other room, I conducted my school at this congregation." This is Beth Jacob Congregation, one of the two large Orthodox shuls in Oakland, which I helped to found in 1907 and maintained thereafter. For having the privilege of educating Jewish children at my own expense in that synagogue, I had to go through the humiliation of obtaining a permit from the president of the shul. I encountered much resistance in maintaining the school there. My permit was canceled by the president in 1921. This was the greatest blow I ever received in my spiritual life, and the hardest struck on the innocent Jewish children. In vain did the children gather outside the synagogue. We're now quoting from what Rabbi Miller wrote in an open letter to the Oakland community. In vain did the children gather outside the synagogue, rapping at the door, at the closed doors with their little hands, that someone might open to them, that they might come to my classes and joyfully compete for scholarship prizes, that they may participate every Friday in the theatrical show which I instituted to portray scenes from religious Jewish life and of the sacred Sabbath, for the purpose of instilling the Jewish spirit and ideals in their little hearts by example. They missed, too, the cafeteria, the refreshments, and food at one penny, cash or credit, a dish, which included a pint of pasteurized fresh milk. In vain did these little ones tramp around the corner looking for their friend, their playmate, their teacher, who gave them such good times along with and as an inducement to the serious work, taking them out frequently for picnics and recreation, treating them gorgeously with refreshments. But no use. Their true friend, Rabbi David Miller, did not appear. He suddenly fell ill from strain, overexhaustion, and particularly from the most terrible blow of all received at the hands of the president, when he canceled the permit to conduct the school at the synagogue. This separated me from my beloved and loving children. These children have now grown to manhood and womanhood. Some of them have children of their own. Most of them still remember the lessons I taught them in an interesting, attractive, understandable way. I felt that I am completely rewarded. I feel that I am completely rewarded. But just imagine my deep sorrow, the irreparable loss. Had they not broken me, my school, what accomplishment there would have been by this time. In all probability, a Jewishly inspired generation would have been raised. For a long time after this humiliating defeat, I was heartbroken, ill. That is the reason why I stood apart and concentrated my philanthropic educational efforts outside of my own city of Oakland. He wrote a bit dramatically, but nonetheless it was a tragedy, and indeed for many years he turned his back on Oakland and used his money to support Orthodox organizations in other places in America and also in Europe. To give you some idea of how bad the situation was for Judaism in America, in 1938, the B'nai B'rith of Oakland held a picnic on a Sunday in August. Sadly, the picnic was scheduled to take place on Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Miller wrote a letter to the B'nai B'rith criticizing them, but it was to no avail. Rabbi Miller passed away on January 7, 1939. His last will and testament, dated February 23, 1938, left money to Yeshiva Eitz Chaim, Jerusalem, Palestine, the Hebrew Theological College in Chicago, Illinois, Yeshiva Yitzhak Al-Hanan and Yeshiva College, Yeshiva Torah Vadas, Yeshiva Mir in Poland, the Slobodki Yeshiva in Poland, the Council, actually in Lithuania, the Council of Young Israel, the Rabbinical College Near Israel in Baltimore, Maryland, the Rabbinical Seminary of America in Brooklyn, New York, the Rabbinical College Old Torah in Bronowitz, Poland. This list makes it clear that Rabbi Miller understood of the value of Torah education and the crucial role it plays in perpetuating Judaism. Sadly, though, he lived at a time in which many did not appreciate his efforts. Nonetheless, he was one of the pioneers that we've talked about in this lecture and we've talked about in the other lectures. These are people who plowed the hard ground of America so that when Jews began coming here, both during and after World War II, they found the basis for establishing Orthodox institutions which have led to the vibrant Orthodox communities that we see today throughout America. This concludes the last lecture. I thank you for listening. Be well.